As Brother Bill read for us just a few moments ago, I think the one y'all want to see. The Apostle Paul gave instruction to the Galatian brethren that those who were spiritual had a responsibility to help those who had fallen away from the Lord. We're not going to talk about helping those that have fallen away. Well, maybe that'll come in as some of the things we talk about, but I want us to key on this idea of you who are spiritual, because we need to understand what it means to be spiritual before we can answer this call that the Apostle Paul has given us. I'll tell you the reason for having this lesson this morning. I was talking to my brother earlier in the week, one that's over in Georgia, and he said they had a visitor, and he was talking to him and such, and one of the questions the guy asked him is, how do you know you're spiritual? We talked back and forth about that a little bit, and I thought, you know, that's a good subject. We need to talk about that. And so that's why we're having this lesson this morning. We need to understand what it means to be spiritual. Now, this is not because I think that none of us here recognize or understand anything about this, but it does us good to go back and remind ourselves of those things that we need to have in our mind all the time. We need to constantly be considering, am I spiritual? When I think about this idea of spiritual, my first thought is, when we define that word, and you can probably get some good definitions out of just about any dictionary you want, but what it boils down to is that which is of or relating to the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of ideas that men have about spirituality, but most of them have to do with how it makes me feel. And I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. I've heard ball players talk about how it was such a spiritual experience to be a part of a team or to be engaged in this or various others. Such a spiritual experience. What they're talking about is how they feel, how it got to their emotions and how it affected them. And while I recognize and understand being spiritual is going to have an effect on our emotions and it's going to be something that we feel as well, that's not what Paul's talking about here. When Paul talks about those who are spiritual, we need to understand what he's talking about is in regards to godliness. Things of the Spirit of God, which we can make the connection to the Word of God, because it is the Spirit that delivers to us the Word. So we want to consider this morning some things that will be notable of the one who is spiritual. The one that the Apostle Paul is calling to here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 to be of assistance and help to those who have strayed from the faith. For brothers taken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And I think when we're talking about the idea of who is spiritual or how can I know that I'm spiritual, the first thing that should come to mind is I am ruled by God. In fact, if we go back a few verses in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren, back to verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, there we see the Apostle Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." And then in verse 25 of that same chapter, just a verse or two above what he says there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And we've looked at this idea of walk in other lessons in the past, especially when we've looked at the use of it in the book of Ephesians that the Apostle Paul has. And what we come to understand there is when Paul uses this phrase, walk by the Spirit, what he's saying is your conduct of life needs to be directed by the Spirit. And I think here is where it's important for us to make the connection between the Spirit and the Word of God. If we're a spiritual person, we're going to conduct our life in accordance with the Word that God has delivered. God is going to rule us. I think that's quite evident here as well as in other places where the Apostle Paul writes in particular and other passages as well. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul told the Roman brethren, "Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the Spirit, but those who are according to the Spirit the things of the Spirit. We don't think about the things of the flesh. We think about the things of the Spirit because we are walking by the Spirit. We want to be spiritual. The things that are of God. Our life is centered around doing the right thing. That's a sign that we are spiritual. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we go about telling folks or acting like we've got it all, we've got all the answers, and we've done everything we're supposed to do, and there's no problem in our life, and everything is great. But it means that we're doing everything within our power to keep our heart focused on serving God and to obey His will. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." We need to be doing everything within our power to grow, to be sincere and blameless in the sight of God. The spiritual person is doing that. We have the attitude Paul expressed later in chapter 3 and verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." Constantly working to do the will of God as closely as I possibly can. Is my life ruled by God? Now, doesn't mean I'm perfect, but when I fail, how do I react to the discipline of God in that failure? Do I accept that discipline as something that's going to help me and to allow me to grow and to increase and do better? Or do I reject that discipline and say, "I don't want anything to do with that. Don't tell me what to do. I can figure it out for myself." One of those attitudes is spiritual and the other is not. And certainly we recognize the spiritual attitude as the one that accepts the discipline of the Lord in the manner in which it is presented and given to us because of His love and His care and His concern for His desire that we might do that which is right always. We accept that discipline. We learn from it. And we move forward better able to deal with those situations. The Hebrew writer deals with this in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. He says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." Being a spiritual person means that we accept the discipline of God. We learn from it. And we do better as a result. Our mind is one that is ready and willing to recognize errors and repent of them so that we can remain pleasing in the sight of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, passage that we're all familiar with, John tells us, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Walking according to the rule of God means that we not only guide ourselves by the precepts and teaching of His Word, but we recognize that we're not perfect. And when that word sends us correction, or when a brother or sister helps us to see the error of our ways, like Paul's talking about there in Galatians chapter 6, we accept that discipline. We make the needed changes to put ourselves back in a right relationship of accepting and doing the will of the Lord. We are ruled by God. A mind that is not spiritual will not accept the rule of God. Paul talks about this back in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The fact that we are ruled by God's law is an indication that we are spiritual. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we are spiritual. When we start wondering, am I a spiritual person? One of the first things, am I ruled by God's law? Because those who are not spiritual will not submit to the law of God. Another thing that we need to take note of if we want to recognize ourselves as spiritual is that we need to be filled with Christ. And I use the word filled there because what we're talking about is an always and forever relationship. It's not an on and off again sort of thing. It's not a on general occasions when things are going well, or when things are really bad, I turn to Him. It is an always on relationship. I know when the Apostle Paul makes the comparison and uses the idea of bride for Christ, and he's talking about the church. But there is an element of that that's talking about also our personal relationship with God, with Christ. We are with Him always, just like a husband and wife are always to be together. And the Scripture makes it very clear that we are supposed to be filled with Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Even though the Apostle Paul recognizes that he's still fleshly, he says his life is devoted to Christ because Christ is in him. He's filled with Christ. And that needs to be the attitude of one who is spiritual. I want to be filled with the Christ, the Savior. I want to know the message of the Lord. I want my entire being to be consumed by Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Are you spiritual? Well, is Christ dwelling in you? Are you filled with Christ to the point that He is your everything? He's what you're all about? Then yes, you can consider yourself spiritual because the spiritual mind is filled with Christ. I've always liked Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Of course, I used to use it only for when we were talking about singing and the kind of music we were offering to God. But as I got older and matured a little bit and learned a little more, I understand there's much more to this verse than just talking about singing. Look at the beginning of this verse. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Notice the Apostle Paul says, let yourself be so filled with the Word of God that you can't help but talk to others about it. Let it richly dwell within you. I know some folks that have a lot, that have some things that richly dwell within them. They always know what to say. I got a buddy that is a Star Trek fan, and any phrase that you might utter that can be connected to Star Trek, he can tell you how it fits, where it goes, who said it, all those sort of things. Maybe even what episode of which show it came from. He's filled, not just Star Trek, but he's filled with movie trivia. He's got all kinds of ideas and thoughts in his head regarding various different franchises and such. He always has an answer that'll fit that. He's filled with those things. Doesn't do him much good in the long run. Gives him some topics of conversation. And the sad part is, his parents are members of the church, and he grew up understanding and knowing the truth, and he's turned away from God. But he is an example. I hesitate to say good example. He's an example of somebody who is filled with something. He knows all about it. We need to be filled with Christ to the point that it's overflowing. My friend who is filled with this trivia, you don't have to mention it in order for him to talk about it. It naturally comes out in his conversations. It's always there. Are we filled with Christ? Remember, John tells us in John chapter 1 that Christ is the Word. There in verse 14 it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the only Son of God." That's the same Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, and by that Word all things were created. Jesus Christ delivered to us the message of God, or the message of salvation. We need to recognize and remember the importance of the sacrifice that He made on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection, and what that does for us. But let us never forget that filling ourselves with Christ means filling ourselves with the Word of God. Are you spiritual? If you are, you'll be filled with Christ. He'll be overflowing. He becomes a part of us. And we will feel a responsibility to Him. Look at Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you. If we are filled with Christ, it can't help but show. First of all, to ourselves, and secondly, to all those who come to know us. And having that relationship, having Christ dwelling in us, knowing the closeness that we have with our Father in heaven because we are ruled by His Word, and having Christ within us brings us great peace and comfort. In verse 6 of Romans chapter 8, the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Having Christ within us, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us, gives us life more than anything that we could expect or experience in regards to the fleshly things of this world. Paul told the Philippian brethren, "The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It gives us the means to weather any storm or trial that we may come upon in life. Because Christ dwells in me. Christ liveth in me. If you are spiritually minded, if you are a spiritual person, as Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Christ fills you. He is your everything. He is your all. Because of that, you will demonstrate godly actions or godly characteristics. When I first started thinking about this lesson, my first thought was, well, there in chapter 6 and verse 1, it talks about those who are spiritual. We go back a few verses, Paul describes what it means to be spiritual. He tells us the works of the flesh and the works of the spirit. And I started looking through some of the material and such that I've gathered up over the last 25, 30 years. And I did find a series of sermons done, I think, by Brother Jim Sasser, that talked about each of these individuals and compared the works of the flesh to the works of the spirit and such. And it was about 8 lessons long. And I thought, that's not going to work in the morning. So we're going to take some time later on to go and deal with each of these things individually. If you want to hear those lessons from it, you may have to move here and just stay here all the time so you can come regular. But we're going to work on those individually. We're not going to deal with those individually this morning. But Paul's mention of those things there and elsewhere emphasizes to us that if we're spiritual people, these things are going to come forth. They're going to shine out in our lives. Because we are so filled with Christ and we're so close to God, everything we do is going to be a result of them. You recognize John chapter 15, don't you? I'm the vine and you're the branches. In verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We need to understand that our close relationship with Christ and with God is going to show in what we do. It's quite possible that we finally got into spring around here. And I know that because if you look out at the trees and the shrubs and the vines, you can see that they're blooming out. They're putting out leaves. And some of the bark is livening up a little bit on some of the things. And you know, one of the things that we recognize in all plants is they get their nutrients and their everything about them comes from the base, the root. Or the vine, as Jesus uses here. I know when I look out at my fence in the backyard with all that honeysuckle vine growing over it, I know what it is by what it looks like. It's got them little flowers with the little, I don't know what you call them, the little things we used to pull out as kids and suck on to get the sweetness out of them. The little yellow or beige flowers. There's probably a fancy scientific name, something like pistis or something like that has to do with it. But we know that's what it's going to do. Because we know what kind of vine it is. In fact, sometimes you may have something grow up in your yard and you don't know what it is. But you keep watching it and you look at the leaves that it puts out. If it puts out a flower, you look at the flower that it puts out, and you'll be able to determine what it is by what it bears as fruit. Whether that be a beautiful flower or just be a bunch of green leaves and foliage, you can tell what kind of plant it is by what it looks like. If we're spiritual, it's going to be evident in our actions. Paul tells us in verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I don't have the reference on the screen here, but remember, Jesus told his disciples that everybody would know they were his disciples. How? By the love they had for one another. What do you mean? They can look at how you treat one another and know whether you belong to me or not. Just like I can look at that bloom on the honeysuckle vine and know that it's a honeysuckle vine. Otherwise, I might have trouble determining what it was. Look at the Colossian letter in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul deals with these issues there as well. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And then we have that verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. One of the differences between what Paul says there in Galatians chapter 5 and what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul emphasizes that we do these things. We do these things. Why? We have choice. We decide whether we're going to be spiritual or not. And that's where this part of deciding or determining if I'm spiritual or not becomes so important to each one of us. We can know all about the law of God. We can know everything He ever instructed for His people. And we can be well aware of Christ and His sacrifice, and His apostles, and what He taught them, and what He taught in the first century. And we can be well aware that He died, and we can believe that He died, and He was buried, and He rose again, and went to be with the Father. And that there's a day coming when we're going to judge. But we can also choose, even with that knowledge, to say, I don't care. I'm not going to serve. Just because we know the rules of God, just because we have Jesus in our heart, as some people want to talk about it, does not mean we're spiritual. The spiritually minded person will be a person in whom the evidence is shining forth. The spiritual minded person will determine to conduct themselves. Put on a heart of compassion. Be active in these things. We will have a desire to be like God. That can help us see whether we're spiritual or not. Am I active in putting forth godly characteristics? Do I love my brother? Do I love my fellow man? Am I kind? Am I careful with my words? Do I have concern and compassion and care for others? Am I patient? Do I endure trials? Or do I want to hurry up and get these things done and over with? Do I bear with my brethren when they're having difficulties and struggles? These are things that we decide to do. We determine to do. And it makes it evident that we are spiritually minded people. A couple of other quick things before we close this morning. First off, we are separate. The spiritually minded person is separate from the world. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I recognize that's a quote from the Old Testament that Paul gives us there, but the import of that statement is you need to be separate as well. You need to get away from these things. Cleanse yourself of the wickedness of sin around you. Don't be holding yourself as friends and close companions with those who are filled with evil. Need to separate ourselves from that. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's a pretty strong statement. That's a statement of separation. I've put to death the old man. In fact, that's the direction that the Apostle Paul goes in the Colossian letter in chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger,
wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Make your conduct in this life as if you in your physical body are no longer connected to those things. And note the similarity of that list Paul has there with the deeds of the flesh, beginning in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's not much left out of that list that matches up with the world. And what's not specifically mentioned is covered by things like these. We need to be separate from the world. Different, set apart. Because those who are spiritual are holy unto God. Set apart particularly for His use. And the spiritually minded, the person who is spiritual has life. We've seen this in a couple of the passages that we've looked at. But also in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Or in the Colossian letter, the first part of that chapter 3, we've been reading from that chapter some this morning. But in the first four verses, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. The one who is a spiritual person has life. And I'm convinced that that life that the Apostle Paul is talking about there in both places has as much to do with eternity as with anything here upon this earth. Yes, we have life in Christ here upon the earth. We realize and understand and acknowledge and accept the goodness of what it is to be a child of God here upon this earth. The blessings that are ours. We truly enjoy and understand what God has done for us while we walk here upon the face of the earth. But more importantly than that, we have life eternal. That's what these two verses are pointing to, I think. Especially the passage there in Colossians. When Christ is raised up in glory, we will be with Him. So, a question for each of us this morning. Am I spiritual? Well, does God rule your life? Is He the one in charge? Are you filled with Christ? Is Christ so much a part of who you are that you, like the Apostle Paul, can say it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me? Things that I do are not of my own, but they are because of Christ, whom I've given my life. What about your actions? Are you showing forth God's characteristics? Are you separate from the world? Or are you intermixed in and so much that it's hard to tell where you end and where the world begins? You ought to be the other way around. Easy to see us in the world. Difficult to determine whether we're Christ or an individual. I know we're nothing but Christ, but we should be so close to Christ as we possibly can that when someone sees us, that's what they see. So they recognize and understand this person is spiritual because I see Christ and how they conduct themselves and what they do. I know they're the son of God. Because of their love, their compassion, their kindness, their generosity, all of those things that Paul talks about. If so,
eternal life for us. If you are not spiritual, you don't have the hope of eternity. When the time comes to stand before God in judgment, and He looks at your life, compares it to His Word, if you have not filled yourself with the Lord and God and are not guiding yourself wholly by His principles and the teachings of God as delivered through the inspired men, you will have here depart from me, and you will work for me. It doesn't matter that you might call upon the Lord. Jesus says there'll be a lot of folks that call upon Him, Lord, Lord, who will hear the words, depart from me. I never knew. You look this morning and find that you're not pleasing in the sight of God. Here, you correct that. You can be added to the family of God so that you might be a spiritual person by filling yourself with Christ through obedience to the Word. You've heard the Word and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that died on the cross of Calvary so that your sins might be forgiven. Not only died, but was buried and then rose again on the third day, just as the prophets promised. You can have that salvation. You can have Christ within you. And you can be spiritual. You will submit obedience to His will. You can confess your belief in Christ. Turn away from the things of the world. Turn away from yourself. Be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away so that you can rise up out of that watery grave as a child of God. Taking those steps in the past, and you find this morning that you've skirted. Even though you believe in Christ and you at one time accepted Him, you're not living in accordance with His will. Maybe it's just one aspect of your life that you stray away from God. That's all it takes. James says we got to keep the whole law. We've got to keep all of what God's given us. If you recognize this morning that you have failed in that and you're ready and willing to come back to the Lord confessing your wrongs, and it turned from them, God will wipe them away as if they never been. If we as a congregation can assist you in that, time and opportunity is yours. Don't you come, let's stand and sing.